In the first reading today, God says through the prophet Zephaniah that we are to seek justice and seek humility. Now, the traditional definition of justice is giving to each person what is due. And so that is both with regard to God as well as regard to others. To always be seeking the good of the other. Now, it's interesting, though, that the Greek word that is used, this obviously was written in Hebrew, but when the word is translated as justice, that is the Latin form of the word righteousness. So the Greek would be righteous, Latin would be justice. And where the difference with that comes in is that it is possible to be just just because you're an honest person, because you're a good person. But righteousness has a little bit of a different connotation to it. It suggests holiness. And so we want to do the right thing for the right reason. So yes, it is always the right thing to give each person what is due. If you owe somebody some money, it's the right thing to pay them back. It's the right thing to treat somebody with respect and so on. Do the right thing for the person. But for Christian people, we want to do this because of our love for God and love for neighbor. And that's where the point of righteousness comes in. We even hear our Lord speak about the blessing for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in the gospel reading today. And at the same time, at the end of the gospel reading, we hear that those who are righteous are probably going to be persecuted. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. The world doesn't understand it because the world doesn't know God. And so those who are striving to live a righteous life are not going to be understood. But that righteousness then, if it's going to be about holiness, if it is going to be about seeking the right thing for the right reason, which is ultimately love for God and love for neighbor, goes along with the second point that God made through Zephaniah, and that is to seek humility. We cannot be truly righteous without humility. Because, remember, as we pointed out many times, humility and charity are absolutely linked. The depth of your humility is equal to the height of your charity. So if you want to love more, you have to be more humble. It's the only way. Most of us absolutely love humility when we see it in somebody else. But most of us don't want to do what's necessary to get it. Because there is only one way to be able to achieve humility, and that's to be humiliated. And so far in all my years, I have met one person who rejoiced to be humiliated. Nobody else. So it's not normal for us. It's not natural for us to like being humiliated. And so most of us run away from it. I have had a number of people over the years come into my office and say to me, well, I took your advice and I prayed for humility and I will never do that again. It's like, well, why not? Do you know what happened to me? I was humiliated. It's like, right, that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, I don't want anything to do with that. It's like, the only way you can get humility. My mom taught us when we were little kids, if you ever get to the point of thinking that God isn't hearing your prayers, there are two things you can pray for and you will know very quickly, suffering and humility. You'll know that he's answering your prayers and he's hearing them very clearly, because if that's what you're going to ask for, it's what he's going to provide for you. But a lot of us just don't even want to pray for either one of those. Because of what it's going to require. So our Lord is telling us that we have to seek humility, because humility doesn't come normally and naturally. We have to work at it. We have to seek it. You think about the opposite, which is all about boasting. As Americans, we have gotten into a real rut of thinking that somehow or another we're entitled, we're better than, we're higher than, whatever it might be. This entitlement stuff is awful. It's destructive. And yet it is truly epidemic in our society. So really, we have to ask ourselves, why do we think this? Because if we just think about our own selves, listen again to what St. Paul said to the Corinthians, and it can certainly be applied to us. He said, not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were powerful, and not many were of noble birth. Well, that sounds just like most of us, doesn't it? But he says that's why God called us, because he chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak to shame the strong. He chose the lowly to be able to shame those who think that there's something impressive. But even if you think about some of the things that we boast about, and it is just sheer stupidity. Men, for instance, will boast about the fact that I have more hair on my chest than you do. It's like, really? Yeah, and we all had something to say about that, didn't we? You know, or I have, my shoes are more expensive than yours, or I have a fancier car, or my house is bigger. It's like, who cares? What are we boasting about? Foolishness. And all that we do is demonstrate how foolish we are when we do these things. Why? Maybe it's because we think that we're so worthless, which is not true. See, there's this balance that we all have to find. On one hand, we have to recognize the dignity that God has given to us. It's an immense dignity. He made us in his own image and likeness. And through baptism, he made us his own sons and daughters and lifted us up to a supernatural level of acting and being. So we have this immense dignity, absolutely none of which is our own doing. It is all a gift from God. And then on the other hand, we look at ourselves and we see our sinfulness. And so we have this dignity and we have this sinfulness. Now the dignity, as I just mentioned, is a gift from God. He's the one who made us this way. So it's nothing that we can boast of. In fact, as I like to point out often to people, the only thing that I can take 100% credit for are the things that cause me to go to confession. God had nothing to do with my sins. I did that all by myself. How impressive, huh? I can boast about my sins. Talk about the ultimate of stupidity. So no, we have nothing to boast about. In fact, if you really stop and think about it, there are only two people who have ever lived on the face of this earth that actually could have boasted about something. One was Jesus, and he was God. So imagine him walking down the street saying, I'm God. He never did that, but he could have. And the other was our Blessed Lady. Her child was God. Did you ever hear about Our Lady boasting about, your son is pretty cool, but my son is God? No, she never did. So the only two people who actually could have had something to boast about were the two most humble people who have ever lived in history. They didn't boast about it at all. And so St. Paul says, if we're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Because remember the challenge that he presented. He said, name something that you have that you didn't receive. And he said, if you received it, why are you boasting of it as if it's your own? We've got nothing to boast about. And so the glory goes to God, and that's where we have to present it. So we have to be able to do, when we recognize these struggles that are inside of ourselves, even just that pride, which, understand again, pride is at the root of every single sin that we commit. So if you look at yourself today, for instance, and say, well, thankfully I'm humble. Well, number one, that's the first indication that you're not. Because people who think they're humble, they're just proud of their humility, which obviously is a total oxymoron. There is no humility if you think you are. Because truly humble people, all they see is how proud they are. So we need to pray for that humility. And we need to pray for the grace to be able to recognize that anything good ultimately comes from God. So we have nothing to boast about in ourselves, but we have to boast in the Lord. And we need to pray for that humility. There's a little bit that we can do, very little, to try and grow in humility. For instance, the saints will tell us that maybe we don't have to speak up when we could. There are times when we have to speak up, yes, but think about conversations that you get into and you just want to put in your 2 cents worth. You want to, you know, just listen to people as they banter back and forth, and it's always about how I'm a little bit better than you are. We don't need to say anything. We can just be silent. We can pull back. Those are little kinds of things that we can do to try to be a little more humble. But for about 99%, we have to be humiliated. And the real difficulty of it is that it takes a lot of humiliation to gain a little humility. I mean, if it was a one-to-one thing and you say, okay, I'm going to have to be humiliated, but boy, then I'll be humble. That'll be pretty cool. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work. It takes a lot of big humiliations to get a little bit of humility. But at the same time, when you look at what that means, humility means that we can love more. Humility means that we're not focused on ourselves, but we're focused on God and on neighbor. Humility means that we can truly be righteous. Humility means that we become Christ-like. Humility means that we can actually be the people that God created us to be. Because he made us in his own image and likeness, and God is perfectly humble. And he's perfectly humble because God is love. And as I said, humility and charity are completely united. So if God's love is perfect, so is his humility. And if we're supposed to be the children of God, if we're supposed to be like our Heavenly Father, then we have to love more. And if we have to love more, then we have to be more humble. And that's why the prophet says, seek humility. Seek it, because it isn't going to come naturally. Pride, unfortunately, comes very naturally to us in our fallen state. So we have to work against that. We have to strive for that humility, to strive for that righteousness, for that justice. So again, you look at what our Lord talks about in the gospel, all the things that he tells us are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. The world thinks that's foolishness. And the Lord says it's blessed. So which one are we going to listen to? Because at the beginning of his first letter, in fact, the passage that comes right with the one that we heard in the gospel, St. Paul reminds us that human wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of God. But divine wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of the world. So if we're going to strive for the true justice of God, which is righteousness, if we're going to strive for true humility, we're going to strive for true blessedness, then we have to strive then for the wisdom of God. That means that it's not going to be understood. It's not going to be accepted by the world. And that's where each one of us has to make a choice. Which way do we want to walk? The ways of the world or the ways of the Lord? Those are the options. And we have to make that choice. So if we want to walk according to the ways of the Lord, then we need to do exactly what our Lord told the prophet, to seek righteousness, to seek humility, in order that we can truly seek charity, so that we can be the people God made us to be in His own image and likness.